He's presented by our proud partner, Golden State Lumber and Showroom, serving the Bay Area for three generations. Building better starts with Golden State. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit goldenstatelumber.com. And as always, he is a guest on this station, and all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, in Lathrop? Baldy, we'll bring you right into the conversation we were having. Obviously, the Niners play on Thursday Night Football this week, so they had their, you know, if they had practice yesterday, which they didn't, they had a practice report estimation, and, you know, you have about, I want to count, like 10-plus names on this thing compared to the Rams' 5, and one of those names is Brock Purdy, and the injury designation, obviously, toe, and he would not have participated yesterday. And let's start there. It's a quarterback-driven league. Let's start with the quarterback. Baldy, what did you see from Brock on Sunday in that loss to the Jags?
The interceptions are disappointing. I mean, nobody wants to throw interceptions. The throw to McCaffrey was just an aggressive throw on first and 10. It was right, I think it was right after the 31-yard shot to Pearsall, and it was first and 10. I thought he could have just checked it down to Juice or Tongas over the middle, but he saw McCaffrey breaking, and he took a shot. McCaffrey got his fingers on it. Like that one, he didn't have to do that. So I felt, but that's kind of who he is. He's going to be aggressive. I kind of understood it, but then it wasn't the best throw. It sailed on him a little bit. It's a tough throw. And then the other one, I don't think he saw Devin Lloyd over the middle. He was going to Jennings. I just don't think he saw Lloyd. Lloyd had no work on his side of the field, and he was just looking at the eyes. And then he jumped the route. I'm not sure that he saw him. And I just thought, you know, even the first play of the game, he's got juice leaking out of the backfield, and, you know, he kind of shorted it on him. I mean, juice might still be running. You know, I just thought there were some plays left on the field that that even made a difference in that game.
Yeah, Baldy, I thought the ball placement was like a hallmark of his. Hitting a guy in stride so he can turn up field. And it just looked like to me, you referenced that first play of the game, he just looked a little ginger on that foot. And I don't want to use that as an excuse, but he just didn't look like himself for a variety of reasons. Do you think it was rust, the foot? You know, I don't know. Like, why was that? Why did he look so like?
Well, he was like on that first throw. He was under a little pressure, but I can't. We can't. You know, you throw with your legs.
Yeah.
And so we just don't know what that really feels like. I mean, turf toe is like, I'm sure they numbed it up. Who knows? I mean, I don't want to project here, but it's a bad injury. You know, it's ended people's careers. You know, and it's varying degrees of it. And I'm sure that it didn't feel great after the game, but it's one of those injuries where you can't really stop thinking about it because it just doesn't go away. You know, it's there, it lingers. And so I don't know, you know, Joe, it's not fair to be overly critical if deep down he's like, man, I'm like 90% and I can't push the way I want to push to drive a football to juice on the other side of the field. And I can't get what I want to get on the ball. And it kind of dies on him, and juices have to, you know, almost like go backwards to catch it. So, I mean, that's one throw, but I mean, he made a lot of good throws in that game too. But I just thought, you know, Jacksonville, they won the turnover battle, man. I mean, that you win the turnover battle at that degree, you're going to win the game.
Well, I'm glad you bring up turnovers because, you know, I'm telling people, I'm like, you know, one of the themes since the Baltimore game, and Christmas a couple of years ago, it's just the touchdowns and the turnovers are too closely aligned. It's like a 1-to-1 ratio. Going back to the start of last year, he's 7-10. The team is with him as a starter, and he's got 29 total touchdowns, 5 rushing of those 29, and he's got 16 interceptions and 8 fumbles. Have you noticed something different from his play regarding the turnovers? Or is that just an outlier?
Well, I mean, so many of those turnovers now over the last 2 years, 20 games, it's 21 games, is, you know, just the talent around him isn't as good, you know. And every quarterback is only as good as the talent around him. I mean, there's very few guys that can just, maybe Joe Burrow, maybe there's a couple. But, you know, you look at Baker and how he plays with what he has around him. You look at what Jalen Hurts, how he plays and how he doesn't turn the ball over with the guys around him. I mean, it's a total team game, and the talent isn't anywhere near what it was 2 years ago on that field right now. IU can, I mean, just go through the list of guys, Aaron Banks, whatever. Like, it's just not as good around Brock Purdy right now, and that's part of it. Like, he's not getting just clean looks and guys winning one-on-ones and receivers, you know, beating their best corner the way IU did 2 years ago, or you know, Kittle popping free. Like, they just don't have those guys on the field right now.
Talking to Brian Baldinger here on the Morning Roast, our Odyssey NFL insider. Baldy joins us every single Tuesday. I was going to say every single day. I wish he was every single day. Every Tuesday at this time. Baldy, a big part of this too, right, is the lack of complementary football. I mean, this is a bottom five rushing offense right now by a lot of the metrics, which is crazy. A Kyle Shanahan offense is bottom five in rushing after the first 4 weeks. What do you attribute that to?
Well, I mean, they're not getting the, you know, some of the plays that they are used to running, you know, whether, I mean, I broke it down one time, forget about all the motions and shifts. They basically run five plays. They run outside zone, inside zone. They run power. They run a wind back play. I mean, it's based in this set of different formations and sets and things like that. And, but it all, like I always said that no matter where the run started, it would end up behind Trent. And he's not Trent's still a good player. He's not the dominant player that we have seen in San Francisco. He's giving up pressures. He's not the same run blocker. And they're missing Kittle, who blocked the edges better than anybody in this business. But, I mean, they're not getting I think McCaffrey's running hard, really hard. But they're just not getting the type of cutback lanes that they're used to getting, where it's just space and they just get these wide open prairies to run behind. There's, you know, it's kind of clogged up in the middle. I don't think Pooney is playing as good as he did as a rookie right now for whatever reason. So they're not as good up front. They got a, you know, a seventh round pick at left guard right now that's trying to learn how to play the game. So they're not as good up front. I think that's where it starts.
You were referencing Trent Williams as a whole, and he's just not what he was maybe beforehand. I think a lot of people feel the same way about Christian right now. I think, you know, Christian looks better than maybe the 2024 version, but it doesn't feel anything close to 2023. What are you seeing from Christian McCaffrey right now?
I thought I would see more explosive plays from him. I thought he was getting close. A couple of weeks ago, I said, I think he's going to break one. I thought he was getting ready, and he hasn't. And that's been his hallmark. His hallmark is, you know, okay, 8-yard run becomes 28-yard run. Like, we're not seeing the explosive plays. He's catching the ball great. He's, you know, he's heavily involved in a passing game. But we haven't seen that 4-yard run, 4-yard run, 20-yard run. We just haven't seen that. And I don't know if that's him, if that's the explosive step that's not there that he needs. He's still breaking tackles, probably not as many as he did to get to those runs that he did in 23. I mean, if you think about that first game, I think it was 2023, they were in Pittsburgh, and he opened up the third quarter, and he took that shot on the left side, and he finished it. Like, I mean, it was just – I mean, that set the tone for the whole season. Like, I don't know why I remember I was there announcing the game that day, but I actually got some goosebumps just thinking about that because that was McCaffrey against a good defense. I think he made – you know, Minka miss, and, you know, he's running through arm tackles, and he finishes it. Like, maybe, I don't know. Maybe we're not going to see that again. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, Baldy, like, it feels like to me the most explosive player on offense has been Ricky Pearsall. And I know that he's dealing with a knee thing right now. He had Travis Hunter on him. He did a little, like, some sort of a curl or a comeback. Boom, simple little first down. And then he made an unbelievable acrobatic catch on a slightly underthrown ball where he caught it, like, one-handed. But he went down in that game. Obviously, this guy's making plays. He looks like an absolute stud. Is he the only guy that's giving you explosives right now on this offense?
Yeah. But, you know, that play, like, he beat the corner. Like, I thought Brock should have gone over the top. Now, maybe he just couldn't get it there. But I thought it should have been an over-the-top shot. I don't think they needed to back shoulder that thing. I mean, Ricky just adjusted to the ball, and it made that unbelievable one-handed catch, like going to the ground. It was incredible. But I, you know, he had a step on him. I thought you should just throw the ball over the top and let him go get it and finish in the paint.
Baldy, it feels like the only explosive play that most people can remember is the drop ball by Bourne was just, it was massive, and I don't want to sleep on that. That was absolutely massive.
Yep.
But like,
no doubt.
When a hook and lateral
he probably, that throw in the middle of the field, he probably finishes that play.
Oh.
You know, like there's so much space there to actually score on that play. Mm. Like, I that he probably scores on that play.
Well, but like the only other play that most people can remember, the Pearsall play down the sideline and like the hook and ladder play. There's not a lot of juice right now on offense. How do they get this going, whether it's Brock or Mac?
Well, I mean, if you think about it, honestly, Joe, why do they call the hook and ladder? Because Kyle's seen the same thing. We can't get an explosive play. Explosive plays, I mean, you see Travis Etienne go, you know, 40-something yards for a touchdown. Like, they got their explosive plays. But explosive plays are a direct correlation to scoring. Mm. You know, and if you're not getting them, you're not scoring a lot of points. You're not putting a lot of points up if you're not getting those type of plays. And so that's why they call the hook and ladder. We got to find a way to get it. We got to go to some trickeration, you know, some deceptive in order to get a throwback. You watch this week. If they're not getting it, Joe, I guarantee you they'll have a throwback from McCaffrey back to Brock, you know, and do it that way.
Wow.
Rather than, you know, just, you know, winning by route combinations and, you know, rub routes against man coverage and zone beaters and the things that you could get. But, I mean, honestly, Tongas has been as good as you could possibly imagine, considering where he came from. Like, he's been a fine, but they're not, you know, until Ayuk and Kittle get back and Pearsall's 100% healthy, they probably don't have those type of players out there right now.
Does Mac maybe change? Like, obviously Brock's your guy, but he looks compromised. Does Mac's arm maybe bring a different dynamic to the table? I'm thinking out loud here and trying to find a silver lining for Thursday.
Yeah. Well, it'll be – the silver lining is it's a 49er home game at SoFi. So they'll take over the stadium. I mean, that's the silver lining. But, you know, I always thought when San Francisco had the Rams number, and they had it for a long time, that they just physically beat the Rams up in the trenches, no matter who was the quarterback. With Stafford, before Stafford, I just felt like the 49ers were a more physical team, and that's why they won a lot of those games. Now, the Rams, you know, have a defensive front right now that is really talented. They're really good. Jared Verse has had two forced fumbles in a row, back-to-back weeks right now. He's a monster. I think their secondary is very average. I know that Cam Curl had a couple of interceptions on Sunday, but I think they're very average at the cornerback position. People seem to be going after Emmanuel Forbes, and I would too. A.J. Brown did. Puka did all day long. Like, I would go after number one in the Rams secondary from the very first play because they don't have a lot of depth back there either. So I know he's a first-round pick, but he's not – he's – I don't know. Like, I just see teams go after him.
Baldy, and we're talking to Brian Baldinger here on the Morning Roster, Odyssey NFL Insider, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Baldy, what did you see from the defensive line in this loss this past week? Obviously, no
Nick Bosa. I didn't see anything.
There you go.
I didn't see anything. Honestly, I didn't see great effort. I saw Bryce Huff win a couple of one-on-ones. Bryce probably was the most active guy they had. But when you come out of a game and you don't have a sack, you don't have a quarterback hit, you're like, what did you do? How'd they impact the game? Fred Warner.
First time in 10 years. First time in 10 years they haven't done that. No quarterback hits or sacks.
It's unreal. Like, but you know, it's one thing to look at the stat sheet and go, is this a mistake? And then you go watch the tape and you go, no, it's not a mistake. Like, they're not anywhere near the quarterback. But, you know, on the play that Fred Warner strips in the middle of the field, the ball's on the ground. They got four defensive linemen that have not even begun to pursue to the football. In fact, all four Jacksonville offensive linemen beat four defensive linemen to the ball. Like, I said on the breakdown of that play, Robert Saleh could get all pissy about what Liam Cohen's doing, whatever. Like, I'd be pissed at my defensive line. Like, that's just, like, that's what happens when you I think that's what happens when you lose Nick Bosa. You lose a guy that knows how to play the game the right way with great talent, but great effort. And you just can't let that slide. The great players in San Francisco have been Bosa and Fred. We know who they are. And they probably are their hardest working guys, you know, George. And you lose a great player and he's not on the field. I don't know if they have another ringleader there, another alpha dog that can show them how to do it.
Baldy, you referenced it. Let's just talk about it. What did you make of Liam Cohen and Sala yelling back and forth? And what did you make of the comments from Sala last week about the legal sign stealing from the Jags?
Well, I don't think it should. Like, everybody does this. Everybody. I steal signs watching these games. I'm looking for Aaron Rodgers, you know, little signal to DK Metcalf that we're going to run a smoke route here. I'm stealing signs. I can see banjo calls. I mean, I see all this stuff. Like, everybody, it's a sign language business. Everybody's doing this. I mean, I can tell stories of Buddy Ryan back in Philly with Rex and Rob Ryan doing things. I mean, everybody has done this. It's no big deal. It really isn't. I mean, that's what you should be doing. You should be trying to get every advantage you possibly can. So to make it a public story just seems silly to me.
Baldy, I actually thought that Liam Cohen was excellent in this game, and they made a lot of mistakes just getting lined up and hiking the ball, like just straight up like setting yourself up. They had a third and one. They took a delay a game. It was third and six. They had to burn a timeout. He ended up having a really nice conversion. But on that drive, what I love from Liam Cohen is that on second down, they ran the ball. They were backed up against the end zone after we didn't know if Shanahan took the penalty, declined the penalty, whatever. Instead of it being third and 12, it's second and 17. They run the ball. Then they don't let the Niners sub a third down package, which you know they want to do, and they run no huddle and then fire that ball to Travis Hunter, which I still don't know whether he caught it or not. I thought their ability to run some no huddle in certain situations was a brilliant wrinkle that Liam Cohen brought to the table that kind of befuddled the Niners' defensive packages.
I tell you, anybody that's been around Liam Cohen, man, he's a sharp guy. He's very sharp. If you think about it, he's in Tampa last year, and Tampa couldn't run the ball for 2 years in a row. They were the worst rushing football team in the league. Going back to when Tom Brady, his last year there, they couldn't run the football. They get Bucky Irving. Okay, he's a hell of a back. But they were the fourth leading rushing team in the league last year. Travis Etienne was roadkill the last 2 years. Now he's like, I don't know if he's second in the league in rushing, whatever he is. He's at the top of the leaderboard. Jonathan Taylor, Travis Etienne. Like, he's resurrected. And they're doing it with Walker Little and Robert Hainsey, and they picked up, you know, Mekhi. They're not like first-round picks up there. Like, but they have put together a way, and this Bashal Tootin is going to be a really good player out of Virginia Tech. He's a South Jersey kid. But, I mean, they're running the football, and that's what he does. He does it in a variety of ways. But he's going to run it on third downs. He's going to run it when you don't expect him to. And the way that they run it is really, it's really crafty. And you really got to study it hard to understand what he's doing.
Baldy, I'm so conflicted as a Niner fan. On one level, it's like, hey, I'm thrilled we're 3-1, right? And then I take a step back and I just look at the injury report and who's going to actually play over the next couple of weeks. Bosa's out for the year. Ayuk, I mean, if he plays a couple of games, I'll be surprised. Kittle, yeah, still out. I don't even know if he's running right now. I don't know. Purdy, yeah, boy, it sure feels like at some point he's going to probably sit out a couple of more games. Jennings, Pearsall. I mean, the list goes on and on. You're referencing Trent looks a little older, and Father Time's starting to show its age. CMC doesn't maybe have the same boost that he used to. How should Niner fans attack this next month of the season? Is this the year on the line, or do we just got to kind of like go 3-3, 4-3, and just see where we're at? Like, I'm feeling really filled with anxiety right now.
Well, I think the days of the 49ers blowing anybody out the way they once did are over. You know, Mac Jones has to take a team down against Arizona and have a perfect drive to go win the game. Like, that's where they're at right now. They've got to do everything right to eke out these victories right now and celebrate whoever it's against, whether it's division opponent, whatever. Like, they had a chance to win that game on Sunday, but they lost it, in, you know, with the turnovers. They have to do everything right right now. It's the days of just play action pass, take our shots, let's attack. I mean, you remember the days when they'd be deep in their own zone with 40 seconds to go in the half, and they would attack, you know, and they'd end up getting points. Like, I don't know. It's a different style right now because of the limit of talent that they have out there and who they're playing. DeMarcus Robinson is out there right now. Like, what they're going with is it's not the same 49er, you know, star-studded team.
Yeah, and the part that's just so perplexing, they got the right kicker, but they get a field goal before halftime. They give up a huge return, and give them free points with 33 seconds on the clock. You give up a punt return touchdown after the big drop, literally the next play after the big drop by Kendrick Bourne. You get a personal foul, a late hit on Chase Lucas on special teams. Like, how is the special teams coverage unit so bad? I don't understand it. Like, it's beyond me.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, we're seeing more block kicks than we've ever seen, punts and kick and field goals, like at a record rate right now. I mean, I'm not tracking it, but it feels like it is. Like, it feels like it's every week is deciding these games. But, you know, this new kickoff rule is, you know, honestly, it's winning and losing games for teams. You know, like Arizona the other night, like, they kick off and it lands on the 21-yard line. You know, next thing you know, the ball's at the 40. Seattle's at the 40-yard line. One play to Jackson Smith and Jigba, and they're kicking the game-winning field goal. Like, I see the Rams. You watch this week. This kicker for the Rams, this guy Cardi, he kicks the knuckleball. All right? Nobody can field it. And the ball's bouncing, and guys are misjudging it, and they're dropping it, and they're covering the kick at the 20 or inside the 20. It happened all day to the Eagles. Somehow the Eagles still won the game. But, like, they better practice catching a knuckleball because he kicks it like that, and it's on purpose. But, I mean, the kicking game is winning and losing games for people right now. And it used to be like you want to win two games because of your special teams, but you definitely don't want to lose two games because of your special teams. And you could say the 49ers have already lost a game because of their special teams.
And I can't remember one game where they won it because of their special teams in the Kyle Shanahan era.
No, the playoff game against the Green Bay Packers is the only one.
Oh, that's the only one. Hofanga.
Yeah.
That's a great call right there.
They fired that day. LaFleur, I think he fired his special teams coach before they got back into the locker room.
He did.
I think he was fired that fast.
Baldy, should the Niners start Mac Jones this week? Short week. Brock, if there was practice yesterday, Brock would not have been a participant. Clearly looks and sounds like the toe is bothering him. That's what he told Shanahan after the game on Sunday. That Sunday night, he told him the toe is bothering him. Should they just start Mac Jones?
Well, I'd like to know what that conversation, how that went. I mean, because if Brock can go, he's going to go. But if he's limited because it's a short week and he's got a lot of soreness from playing on it, then I would go with Mac. Like, I want the healthiest guy out. Mac proved that he can win games, and he can run this offense. So it's not to knock Brock, but give me the healthiest guy out there. This defensive line of the Rams can get after you. Like, they've got six guys that can win one-on-ones. Kobe Turner, you know all the names. So your quarterback movement is going to be important against this front and how they come after you.
One last one for you, Bald, before we get out. Trent had the highest PFF grade on the team. All right. Now, I know PFF, take it or leave it, whatever. What did you specifically, I know you referenced it a little, what did you specifically see from Trent?
Well, I just thought, like, you know, there was one throw where Brock got, you know, bumped and affected the throw, and, you know, Josh Hines Allen is coming after him. And I thought he was, you know, like, Josh is a good player. You know, and he plays hard. Trayvon Walker's a good player. But I thought he was giving up too much ground to Josh Hines Allen, to be honest with you, on a couple of pass rushes. And the type of – I mean, I don't care who the player is. Like, Trent normally doesn't give up that much ground. So PFF can grade him any other than one. He didn't give up a sack or anything. But I just thought he gave up more ground than I'm used to seeing Trent give up against a good pass rusher.
Hey, Baldy, where are you at this weekend?
I am in Detroit and Cincinnati this weekend. Ooh. But when they gave me that game, it was Cincinnati was 2-0 and before Burrow got hurt.
Real quick.
They might have some regrets, but I'll get a chance to look at Detroit here. They look like, they're just, you just have to admire Dan Campbell and how he coaches that football team right now.
I love him. Should the Niners be going after Trey Hendrickson like right now, given that defensive line performance without Nick Bosa?
Well, I don't know if he's available, and I don't know if he can. I mean, I don't know if they can afford the contract. But if I would make the phone call, if I was John Lynch, I would be calling Cincinnati to see what I could do. I mean, I wouldn't be sitting pat with what I have on that team right now. I would be combing this whole league, looking like I would. If you're serious about winning this division with the injuries that they've had, today's Tuesday. I'd have five players in there working them out right now.
Hey, Baldy,
they need reinforcements.
Great stuff. They absolutely do. Zero quarterback hits, zero sacks for the first time in 10 years for that Niners defensive line without Nick Bosa. It's just insane. Baldy, we'll do
love
it again
you,
next
Baldy.
Week, man.
Yep. See you guys. Yep. Enjoy Thursday night, guys.
He's the
Let's
best.
Let's go.
He's
Brian
the
Baldinger best. Leads us to injury.
Let's go. Bring me back. Bring me back, guys. Bring me back on.
What? Bring him back. He said bring him back.
Bring him back on Friday?
What'd he say?
Let's do it. Was Baldy injured too via the injury report?
What was he saying?
I think he's saying bring him back.
No, what I was saying is with the 49er victory on Thursday night, bring me back on Friday morning. Let's talk about it.
I'm ready.
You don't have to tell me twice, Baldy.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
My wife will be in New York, and I'll be with the little guy by myself all night, so I'll be very sleepless in San Francisco.
I know you'll be charting every single play, Joe. I'm
a psycho.
There he goes, Brian Baldy.
I learned through you, Baldy. You're the best.